Revolution.org, episode 602. Today we're going to talk about check drops, Mybo Lerone, and we're also going to talk about the Mike Tyson rumors revisited. There's some videos Mike Tyson has done. We'll talk a little bit about Mike Tyson and his use, as he's been very open about that he was doping. We're going to talk a little bit about that. So let's first talk about a little bit about check drops. And Mobster has experience with check drops. Originally developed by Upjohn for the veterinarian market, never meant for human consumption. They're arguably the most liver toxic steroid on the planet. It's only 2 weeks on check drops at a dose of 5 milligrams per day is enough to get really, really bad side effects. So you don't want to abuse this stuff. Vets, they give check drops to female dogs during heat to stop ovulation so the bitch can be kept under control. And because of the short 2 week time frame, one can use this, it is impossible to gain any significant muscle from it. So it's really more of a, I'm going to take it, it's going to make me go ape shit ahead of a workout type of thing. It's not something like a typical steroid that you get on, you take every day, like an oral, or you inject once or twice a week as an injectable, and it builds up in your system and it does things in your system to break down barriers so you can build more muscle and build more strength. So it's very, very different. In terms of check drops or liquid preparation, Mobster, definitely come in and talk a little bit about it. You've used it.
Yeah. Steve, let me touch on a couple of things, right? So really, and I've used it for the day of a strength competition. Micrograms, Steve, I wouldn't even talk about 5 milligrams. I seem to recall, and it's unfortunate that I haven't got the bottle here to double check, I think it was 200 micrograms, so a fifth of a gram, a fifth of a milligram, sorry. So just to get your head around it, listeners, we've had to talk about certain products and preparations and micrograms. 1 microgram is 1,000th of a milligram, and 1 milligram is 1,000th of a gram. And a gram is a very small amount of anything, Steve, as you can appreciate. So when you're talking about micrograms, you're talking about a very small amount. And from my way of using it back in the day, Steve, was sublingually, which is under the tongue, to absorb through the saliva, through the mucous membranes under your tongue. And again, I believe off the top of my head, I think we're talking about, my research at the time suggested approximately 8 hours. So, you know, if I was doing a competition, that was fine. 5, 6, 7 events. Typically 5, 6 events. It's going to last me the whole fucking day. And really, I wouldn't use it as a pre-worker at all, right? Because we've discussed this on other shows where Steve and I are not big fans of pre-workouts, and we're especially not big fans of using stims. And most pre-workouts are heavily caffeinated. They have a bunch of other ingredients to make you feel stimulated and some ingredients that specifically hit the central nervous system in a certain particular way. And the problem is you're using these things all the time. Some of them have, for example, caffeine at a level which is the realistic level that you should approximate for the whole fucking day. So we're talking about 400 milligrams of caffeine. And a lot of pre-workouts have 400 milligrams in a single serving. So the idea that you might consider using anything, and especially in this example, check drops, just for a workout is stupid. And I'll say that in blunt terms. What you're really looking at, Steve, in my opinion, is one of two things. Firstly, if you aren't a competing strength athlete, fighter, or whatever else, I would suggest, if you must, that you use this towards the end of a training cycle. So, for example, let's say, guys, you're going from 3 plates-a-side bench press to 4 plates-a-side bench press, and the last few weeks, as you're going from 3 3/4 to 3 and whatever, and you're nearly at 4 plates, Steve, that might be where I go, okay, I want something that's going to give me an absolute edge. This is my lifetime best. So that's for your own personal satisfaction. They might look at something like that then. For me, it was always a competition drug. I should be doing, in the gym, or in the case of the fighters, in the ring, in the octagon, every single thing I possibly can in my training. 4 o'clock in the morning runs, running up the fucking mountain, absolutely hammering the hell out of my sparring partners, destroying myself, breaking myself down, building myself back up, reaching an absolute peak, and then bringing something like for a strength competition, for a fight, whatever, something like check drops, just to give me that last 1%. So I'm looking, in my case, back in the day, Steve, I was talking about British, European, and world records. If it's a fight, and we're going to talk about fighting specifically, although it does apply to powerlifting and strength athletes as well, with a fight, and at the higher levels that Steve and I were discussing in the pre-show, you're looking at $30 million, sometimes a shitload more, especially more recently, Steve, where these guys are getting a cut of the pay-per-view as well as an agreed purse. I'm thinking of a couple of UFC fights where it was $45, $50 million for each fighter. Do you think, listeners, that you're not going to do the absolute best you possibly can in training, in preparation, having the paying sparring partners, paying the coaches, doing every single thing? It's cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars just to prep. And like a movie star, the $200 million, $300 million, half a billion dollar movie, you need to be in shape. You need to be, someone's going to hit you in the face in the ring, Steve. You need to be your absolute best. And we know, when we're talking about Tyson, just how aggressive he was at his absolute best. You're going to be doing the last possible thing you possibly can, short of ejecting adrenaline at ringside, to be the beast that you need to be to get a life-changing amount of money, to put that person down in round one and to walk away with the belt. You're just going to do that sort of stuff. And the mindset, which Steve and I might discuss in another show, we've touched on it in shows, the mindset of a person in that situation, even for myself, in my own little niche sport, was I wanted world records. I kind of needed world records. My desire to fuck myself up and get to a certain place, bleed if required, tear skin and shit like that, and beat the other person, regardless of who they was, perfectly nice people really, was fucked up. And it's hard for the average Joe in the street, having a beer in a bar, when you're discussing fighting to get the head around that kind of stuff. So I went away and did some research then, and the research then still applies now, as we know, Steve. I didn't see a single guru, steroid expert, whatever you want to call, and this is 20-odd years ago, Steve, not a single one making any different recommendations then than now. That's just how harsh this steroid is and the way that we're using it. As I said, we're talking about 200 micrograms, a fifth of a milligram underneath the tongue. And I will tell one more story, which Steve and I are familiar with, and I've touched on this in other shows. So I'm thinking it was the last event of the day. And I kind of put a cap on my levels of aggression. Perhaps I didn't need to be crazy fucked up on the other lifts. I was confident I was going to kick ass, et cetera, et cetera. But on this particular one, I think I'd had a particular focus on this event to get the record. I believe it was British or world record, I can't remember now, at that time. And I'd been working my ass off for 12, 14, 15, 16 weeks to get to this particular level. Knowing also that if I broke the record on that day, that would be enough for me to win the whole goddamn thing. And I said before, I'm pretty sure, thank God, we didn't really have Facebook then, it just started, that someone might have a cell phone, an old Nokia back in the day, with a very grainy video of me running up and down like a fucking psycho, effing and C-U-N-T-ing everybody there, not that they've done anything to deserve it, bless them, and saying, who fucking thinks they can fucking have me? I'm fucking kicking ass, blah, blah, blah. Kind of embarrassing when I look back on it, Steve, but at the moment, in that time, that's how I felt. And that level of aggression, that level of I'll take you fucking all on, whatever, just for a few seconds. Rather, no one's being aggressive. No one's trying to attack me. I was just in fucking red mist, the Viking berserker mode for a moment, and then calm my ass down, realise, listen, we won the competition. We kicked everybody's ass. They're not horrible people when you're being a dickhead. But for the moment, for that second, and that was the reason why I'd taken it that morning prior to the competition, I wanted to do the very thing that was going to help me crush my competition. And as I say, when we talk about movies, $25 million contract for the star, $100, $150, $200 million for the movie, that could easily be a billion-dollar movie in the cinema, online, whatever else, with sales and profit margins, God knows what else, investments and stuff like that. This is why you're seeing stars get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to gym. This is why, and again, Mike Tyson's a great example. I think, let me tell you a quick story, Steve. So I've seen some of the interviews, and in recent years, Mike's been incredibly reflective, and as Steve says, kind of open about what he's done. And there was a discussion about someone running, doing their runs at 5 o'clock in the morning. And Mike said, if they do their runs at five, I'll get up at four. So the person naturally says, well, if they get up at three, so I'll get up at three. I'll fucking get up 1 hour before that motherfucker so that I've done more than they've done to prepare for an event. And that was the indication, a sense of the mindset. He's talked about his anger. He's talked about how he used to get emotional and so emotional, so worked up that he would cry before matches. And these were the same matches where he came out of his corner like a monster and battered the fuck out of people when he's threatened. He's literally beat a chunk out of one boxer's ear. He threatened to eat the children of a British boxer that he was up against, and so on and so forth. And he was as scared and upset as anything else. But that violent emotion to be enhanced by check drops to do the very last thing that you absolutely need to do, short of sniffing coke at ringside. He was doing and coming out from that corner to destroy people. I mean, there's arguments about whether or not he's the greatest boxer of all time. But those of us that have seen him at that time when he was kicking ass, round one wins, round one knockouts, 30 second, 60 second knockouts, coming out of his corner with no socks on, no decoration, no fancy clothing, just black shorts, black shoes, and just the meanest motherfucker on the planet. Out of necessity, because of his background, everything else is coming from. And when you've had nothing to rise up from the streets, as the saying goes, I can understand the mentality that makes you, that desire that makes you scared, afraid, emotional, whatever else. And you will do every single possible thing. Again, most of us are never going to be in that situation. Check drops is for me, and the research that I did at the time, and I understand the mentality. In terms of bodybuilding, in terms of training, absolutely to be avoided. I've not seen a single guru that's talked about more than 2 weeks. I think one was hinting at 4 weeks. No one said you should cycle it for 12 weeks, 16 weeks. No one said, really, this is a drug that's going to get into the gym. So it should absolutely be saved for the one or two times a year, maybe, Steve, when you're killing in the powerlifting competition, a strength competition, in the octagon, in the ring. Or if you absolutely must, for that one big lift that makes you the Mac Daddy of the gym for a single day, that's when you should save it for. It's really like the last thing you should possibly do before, sort of keeling over and opening up a vein or something ridiculous. So it's a fascinating drug. I mean, the fact that it's so potent, the fact that I can't think of a single guru that's ever recommended it, to me, is that's out there. I do get that, perhaps, Steve, also one more thing. People are fascinated by the idea of something that's going to make them a crazy beast in the gym. The problem is, a lot of the time, we're talking about teenagers and young fellas, a few girls, not many. And they don't really get all the other elements, all the other ducks in a row properly. And then they want us to take something that's going to turn him into some sort of psycho beast like they've seen on the internet. For them, this is not the drug they should be looking at. Fun to talk about crazy situations, describing stories of my own, describing stories about Mike Tyson, but really, absolutely, I can't think of a single guru that says, yeah, this is something you want to try just to have a crazy fucked up training session. Because what the hell's the super toxic, not something you should use for any length of time, really, and not going to put pounds of muscle on you. And you should have done everything you need to do to get strong, to get muscular, whatever else. This should be the last thing for one day, for 8 hours. So, yeah, Steve, let's talk about the other aspects, like we said, in terms of the chemical stuff and any
Well,
measures or
yeah,
whatever else.
let me just cover a couple things. If you run, you can see how powerful this stuff is. So, sources now, underground labs, they're coming up with this stuff now in 2024. It's no longer necessarily the way Mobster is describing it in the veterinarian form, the way he was taking it under his tongue. Now they just sell it in tabs. So now each tab you're gonna look at, it's 250 micrograms, which, as Mobster said, is a quarter of a milligram. So really, just taking one of those ahead of your, training or your workout or your fight or whatever is going to make you a madman. So it's got a half-life of 3 hours. So very, very quick half-life. It's in and out of your system within, you know, within about 15 hours. So you take it 8 a.m. By the time, you know, 12 hours later, it's really going to be at a low amount in your system. By the time you go to bed, it's going to be mostly almost all out of your system. So you can imagine it's hitting your body really, really quick. So usually people will take this, you know, maybe an hour or two before their whatever, and they'll do it. And Mike Tyson, he's talked at length. He's been very, very open about it. I mean, first of all, this guy's a piece of shit. I mean, he's a rapist, convicted rapist. He's done a lot of bad shit in his life, treated women like shit. Obviously, he grew up in a very abusive household. And he's he's the first one to admit, hey, I'm a piece of shit. I was a bad husband. I was, you know, a bad boyfriend. I was a bad this. I was a bad that. So he was crazy. But one of the things in the interviews he also admits is he would dope. And he would basically dope whatever he needed to do, as Mobster said, he needed to do before a fight. So, okay, so basically in these interviews, they'd ask him, you know, how would you get away with the doping? And this shows you how much these doping tests are a joke in boxing, is that he would just use his wife's urine. And one of the ways, actually, you'd have to really, like, screw shit up as a boxer to do this, because in wrestling is the same way. In pro wrestling, they really do everything they can to not bust you. So you have to be a real big idiot to be busted. And one of the ways that a boxer got busted recently is that he submitted his wife's urine test, and it turned out she was pregnant, and they saw that there was a pregnancy going on. So then they knew right away, this isn't your urine. So you're obviously using someone else's urine. So this is how dumb some of these boxers are to do something so stupid like that. But that's how he got away with it. And the rumor is, specifically with Mike Tyson, there was a fight that he did with Evander Holyfield. And I remember, because I watched this fight, I was never really into boxing, but, you know, in my family, we had a lot of people that were. My grandfather was a boxer, whatever. In those days, especially in North America, boxing was a big thing. You know, boxing was what you did. So
still is. Yeah, still is. Even here, Steve's huge.
But I mean, back then, it was more huge. Like, instead of watching football every weekend, or watching the basketball game, watching the hockey game in Canada, people sat around and watched the boxing, you know, and that was the big, big thing in those days. They've ruined boxing today. They being all these fucking assholes, and same thing with martial arts. They ruined martial arts too, but that's for a different day. But the rumor was, when he fought Evander Holyfield, those of you might not know the story, he actually bit off his ear, piece of his ear. And during the fight, Mike Tyson was getting very frustrated. Evander was really overpowering him in the ring, and Mike was getting really, really annoyed. And also, he felt like that he was getting headbutted.
Yes.
And the ref the judges or the ref wasn't doing enough to stop that, or wasn't penalizing Evander for it. So he got frustrated and just went to bite his ear. And one of the rumors was that he was on check drops before that fight, and that made him even more crazy. So definitely, if it can make someone like Mobster crazy, you can imagine what it can do with someone who is a complete psycho like Mike Tyson was. So I would be, I think everybody, including you, Mobster, would be shitting their pants going into the ring with a crazy motherfucker like Mike Tyson while he's on check drops on top of it. That would be a scary.
Oh, back in the day, mate, I'd have been scared to go with him without fucking check drops. But with check drops, it's like unleashing one of a wild dog. You either put your hand down his throat and pull his lungs out, or run the fuck away. I mean, look. Here's the thing with Mike as well, right? So Mike is the first person to admit now, and he's been incredibly open now in terms of his emotional response, the reason why he was the way he was, his background. But that's not uncommon of boxers and fighters. You don't get people that are chilled the fuck out and wealthy kicking ass in the ring or the octagon. It doesn't work like that. You need to have had almost a terrible background, a shitty upbringing, to have been poor, redneck, whatever you like, right? And that level of aggression, that desire is hard for people to get their brains around. Fun to talk about, but unless you've experienced it, it's kind of fucked up. The man that he is now is a completely different beast, father, potential grandfather, so on and so forth. And he's much better and more introspective. And even his relationship with Evander is kind of cool. They've made up a long time ago, and he's apologized to people that he was a monster with back in the day. But let's be honest, I don't think he'd give two shits at the time. And to add Czech drops into that particular mix, like I said, I mean, it's like having a rabid dog or a loaded gun on the table with a hair trigger. You just don't know how it's going to, if I pick it up, is it going to fire? If I drop it on the floor, is it going to fire? And that's what he was like. He was fighting the promoter, Don King. He was having fights with people in car parks. He wanted to kill and was being racist at a press conference to a white reporter. So he had issues, big time issues. And to then add something that makes you aggressive on top is kind of weird. It's difficult for people to get their brain around. Something that Steve and I talked about in a pre-show, in terms of testing, I'll touch on this nasty. We were talking about the Olympics. So we get this occasionally on the forums, and this, we're not even talking about check drops, Steve, but we're saying to potential, and I did this on a show recently that we recorded this week, UFC or MMA cage fighter type people, and they're just about to turn pro, or they've just turned pro in a low-level federation, and I'm looking for an edge. So they're asking about SARMs, and they're asking about steroids, and I've had to point out, motherfucker, you get to the pro level, especially the stuff that's televised, there are people getting tested right now with two-year-old samples and being found positive 2 years after the test was taken because the testing has got better. They've gone back. This person's pissed someone off, or they've done something in a fight they shouldn't have done, or it's just politics or whatever, and their samples are being taken out of the freezer, they've been taken out of the fridge, and they're being retested, and they're being found positive. Okay, the Olympic stuff. This is, again, for people to get their brain around. Olympic level athletes, the next Olympic Games, no matter what the sport is, but I'm thinking specifically of running as an example, the top three in the 100 meters will be tested. If you win, you're tested. Okay, there's always going to be an argument between what's possible to test for and what people will do to avoid being found positive versus the updated technology and the fact that the tests get better all the time. So there's an argument about the science. I think Steve's used the chemical warfare analogy multiple times between the athlete's desire to win and make a name for themselves and pay their mortgages and get sponsorship and Nike, Adidas, and so on and so forth, or fight for $30 million or $100 million or whatever, against the tester's desire to kick your ass in the lab and find you positive. And you know, when you're talking about technology, gas chromatography, et cetera, where the item is burnt and the color of the flames is then scanned by the machine and it can work out what steroid you took, what combination of steroids you took, how old the sample is, and so on and so forth. They will go back years later when the technology's got better and retest old samples. So it's a constant fight between the athlete, what the desire to win, and the lab trying to catch you the fuck out. So the idea, for example, people having injecting the urine up their own urethra, in other words, down the man's penis, and putting someone else's urine into their own bladder and then peeing out that pee, is just one example. Fake penises. We've talked about the Mexican stuff for Muscle Media 2000. They were using fake penises. And again, there was a small bladder to the side of the fake penis. But then they started having a person standing there watching you. And I'll put it crudely, Steve, get your cock out and pee into a cup while they're looking at your penis. So it just got stupid. So the idea, again, even in this example, that you could use something that makes you crazy aggressive for a fight, for powerlifting, for whatever, that's in and out of your system in hours. So Steve said a four-hour half-life did you get tested that day? Is there randomized testing? You're going to get tested at the event? You're going to get tested next week? This stuff is in and out of your system super quick. So the chemical warfare analogy and the desire for people's desire to win is really, really difficult for the typical gym user, the listener of this show, to kind of understand that nuanced level, that kind of You almost have to be in the presence of that person or go back and look at old Mike Tyson videos just to get a sense of what was going on. And even now, it's taken Mike 20 years to get his own head around what he was like then, to mature as a man, to talk about examples, Steve, people killing his pigeons when everybody knew a pigeon was his thing, that mum was a prostitute, that he lived in a brothel, that dad was a drug dealer, that he was taking narcotic-type drugs when he was 12 or 13 years of age, that they were mugging people, robbing people for the money for drugs when they were that age. It's difficult for the rest of us to get our heads around it. And Mike now is a dad and treats his kids and he's a wonderful father and he will explain to you how he feels. But the man that he was a beast. The desire to win is on another level for most of us.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, and let me cover a couple of things, some facts on Czech drops, because we haven't really gotten into it too much. But I wanted to cover some facts before we finish up the show that were interesting. So it's actually derived from nandrolone. And we all know nandrolone, you know, typically people call it, you know, Deca or whatever. And the way that what they did, they added a methyl group to the 7th and 17th position of the nandrolone hormone. And the added methyl group at the 7th position increases the hormone androgenically, and it prevents the action of the 5-alpha reductase enzyme. And then also, it's 17-alpha alkylated, so obviously that's going to protect it when you ingest it orally. So it's very, very powerful. On paper, it's going to be 6 times more anabolic than testosterone and 2.5 times more potent than as an androgen. But I mean, I think it's even, you know, these on paper numbers really don't tell the tale, because this stuff, the way it's designed, and the way you take it, you know, within your, you know, an hour, some people take it within 90 minutes, some people take it within 2 hours, but really some people take it within even a half hour of when they are planning to do it. So, you know, if you were to take, you know, grams of this every day, you could literally like kill yourself. You literally get yourself into having liver failure on this stuff. It's so damn toxic. So yes. Really, if you do want to use it and you do want to try it out, you don't want to experiment, be smart about it. Don't use it like every single time before your training or every single time before whatever. So you want to take 1 or 2 tabs a day. So up to 500 micrograms, which is 0.5 milligram a day, no more. And in Mobster's case, it sounds like he took only 250 micrograms, and that enough was enough for him to make him crazy. So you can even do half of a tab. So 125 micrograms would probably be good. And then that would be your effect. So you want to watch out for the side effects because of the way it's in the body and it's structured. And even though it's, you know, on paper going to aromatize very, very heavily, you're not going to be running enough of it. And it has such a half-life where it's in and out of your system so quickly that you're not going to have an issue with estrogen on this. You shouldn't. I mean, if you were to take a bunch of this every day, consistently, day in and day out, I could see that being a problem. But
absolutely.
I haven't seen any evidence that you're going to get gynecomastia from taking Czech drops before your training or whatever. But expect a lot of problems. Expect problems with your heart, your liver, your kidneys, lots of toxicity when you take this stuff. So it's very, very important to not mix it with other drugs. Don't mix it with other oral steroids. Don't mix it with alcohol. Very, very dangerous. Someone like Mike Tyson, he's reckless with his body. And it wouldn't doubt me if he was taking, you know, recreational drugs and painkillers and all this stuff along with the Czech drops. He doesn't care. This guy lives day to day, so he's not going to care about his health. So, you know, obviously, I mean, now he looks way older than he is. So, I mean, obviously, it's definitely taken an effect on him as he's gotten older. He's 57 years old, and frankly, he looks like he's 77 years old, you know? So you just want to like be careful when you're using this stuff. You know, use it here and there or don't use it at all, but it's not something I personally would recommend using with in good conscience. So Mobster, finish up the podcast and take us to disclaimer. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Steve, and in fact, the article references something to the point of saying although it's not a specific stimulant, it displays a very noticeable action on the central nervous system. And it occurs to me, and we talk about this sometimes with Tren, and how taking Tren can make you feel toxic. Do you know what I think? I don't know about the methodology of action and the chemical way that it's working, but it's also almost a system irritant. So it's kind of like having something that's annoyed you. And literally, you're taking a pill or a liquid or an injection. In this case, you can take it as a pill now, something that's going to annoy you and make you grumpy. And you're doing this deliberately on top of the fact that you peaked for a fight or strength competition or whatever else. So that's a kind of weird situation for people and a weird way that you're doing something. But you're looking for a specific result on the end of the day to be that person that you need to be to win, to kick ass, and so on. Please note, we are not doctors and opinions are ours. It is our view and based on our experience and views on the topic. Our podcast are for informational purposes and entertainment only. The freedom of speech and the First Amendment applies.